Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it, and connect to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. Grandparenting from a distance, a great distance, is the topic of this episode, the second installment of a two-part series. In the previous episode, my guest was author Helen Ellis from New Zealand, who writes about distance grandparents, families who are separated by miles and by continents. In this episode, we hear from two people who are living this life, a grandmother and a middle-generation adult who lives an ocean away from her nuclear family. And in The Stretch It Takes, I address how it feels to be left behind and what kind of thinking it took for me to turn what felt like a negative event into a positive one. But first, I talk with Kathy Egler, mother of four married children and grandmother to two. She and her husband live in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Her two grandsons and their family live in Taichung, Taiwan, and her other married adult children are scattered around, residing in Portland, Oregon, Phoenix, Arizona, and Osaka, Japan.
Four time zones, three different states in the United States, and then three countries.
That's crazy. Do you have one of those things on your phone that tells you what time it is in all the different places?
I do. Yeah. So Taiwan is 15 hours ahead currently.
Wow.
And then Japan is 16 hours ahead. We also have a gallery wall in our house with a big time zone clock. And that has the time zones of our family. So it's kind of our family wall that kind of symbolizes things that make our family unique. And so a world map and a time zone clock are right in the middle.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you could spend a lot of your time just kind of bemoaning the fact that, you know, you have all these different time zones and children everywhere and grandchildren somewhere else. But I mean, it seems like you'd have to just kind of concentrate on the positive part of it and maybe even a little bit of pride that they've taken off and done all these really cool things. Do you feel that way?
Definitely. We intentionally raised independent children and grandchildren, and we intentionally raised global-minded, compassionate children. And that was a really big part of what we felt was important.
Yeah.
Although we thought twice about it when they decided to go overseas.
Oh, what did we do?
Yes. That is definitely the DNA of our family, and we are grateful for it.
She and her husband have not always been separated from their grandchildren. In fact, before they moved to Taiwan, they lived close by.
Our grandchildren lived in Colorado their whole short life before they went to Taiwan at ages 3 and 5.
Okay, so tell me how that's been for you since they've moved away.
It's been tough, particularly tough during COVID. We have not been able to see each other, either them coming here or us going there. Before that, we saw them every summer.
Yeah.
For about 4 to 5 weeks at a time. 1 year we saw them at Christmas, but it is very tough to stay in touch.
Yeah. When's the last time you were in Taiwan?
That would be November 2019. So over a year.
And I would think it would be really wrenching to have had the closeness that you had when you were with them there in Colorado, and then having that taken away from you. So you know the difference. You know how it feels.
Yes, definitely. Now, I did that to my parents.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
We spent 13 years in Ecuador, and we came home only every other summer for 8 weeks, and the internet didn't exist for most of that time.
You're what this author that I talked to calls the middle generation, and that middle generation often deals with a lot of guilt for having taken the grandchildren away from the grandparents. And then you can really relate, I would imagine, to your
children, your middle generation children, who probably feel a little guilty. But the thing is, when you're a middle generation and you're doing it, I'm not sure you feel that guilty, maybe. I don't know.
I would say it felt quite a bit different when we were overseas, I think. I don't think I really grasped the fact that my parents and my husband's parents, my in-laws, weren't able to touch base with us that much. We had what we called adopted grandparents in Ecuador. So we were very intentional about having substitute family around us and our children.
She admits now that she better understands how her own parents felt when she and her husband took the kids and moved to Ecuador. So how do you manage to keep the connection going at this point?
Definitely video chatting. I had to laugh, though, at that recent Zoom call where the lawyer got turned into he was a cat.
Yes.
And a filter. Because when we're chatting with our grandsons, inevitably, I become a unicorn or in the middle of an animated cartoon game.
Yes.
And so I totally identified with that. Video chatting with them is a big deal and has been even more of a big deal since we haven't been able to see them in person.
Yeah, I think the grandchildren have no idea how hard it is for the grandparents. And, you know, that's because, like this author said, you wake up in the morning and you think about your grandchildren and your children right away when you wake up. They probably don't think about you when they wake up in the morning.
No, they don't.
Sadly.
We send them a lot of packages, especially last summer when we realized they weren't going to be able to come.
Yeah.
So I mailed a series of summer fun packages, stuff that we would have done together here, and mailed those every 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's just say you used to be a teacher. And so you bring that. I know this. And you bring that into your grandparenting a lot, don't you? As a grandmother, you're kind of like super.
Yes.
You've got all sorts of great ideas for them and stuff.
Definitely. And my daughter-in-law is really good at looking at messy activities and saying that, I think, is a grandma activity. So she kind of gives me all the ones that there's a lot of cleanup involved, but I don't mind at
yeah.
all.
No, it's fun. It's really fun. When is the next time you think you'll get to see your grandkids?
That's a good question. It's very up in the air. We were originally scheduled to go next week for a month.
Mm.
So that obviously was canceled. Taiwan is totally shut down to foreigners. Still, we're holding out hopes that maybe they'll come this summer, but the quarantine issue for them going back is very complicated right now. They might yeah. have to spend several weeks in a shelter, not their own apartment. And being in a shelter in a foreign country with a now 7 and 9-year-old is not a good idea.
So, that sounds pretty miserable.
Yeah, so we're not sure. We're not sure, but our next trip there is scheduled tentatively for October.
As all of us know, so much of what is happening these days is out of our control. So we try to go with the flow and to support our families when they choose to settle in different parts of the world. Talking to Kathy reminds me of our own family move to Indiana from upstate New York. Mike and I had 4 children by then, and we lived about a 6-hour drive from my parents. Our move to Indiana, a 16-hour drive away, was, we thought at the time, temporary and work-related. We never imagined we would live here for what is now over 30 years. I can imagine it smarted a little when I told my parents we were moving. It was probably a stretch for them. But then again, as you will learn, the shoe had been on the other foot 10 years earlier. And so it goes. As children, as parents, and now as grandparents, there are painful reaches we have to make. Our flexibility and attitude is key to a happy life, one where we can bounce back from circumstances beyond our control. So let's go to the mat and remind ourselves that how you choose to look at a situation is the path to flexibility and joyfulness. We're moving to Brussels. Those words shocked me, even though I was 21, living in my own apartment and working on my graduate degree. My parents called from New Hampshire to inform me that my dad had taken a job in Belgium. "Where is that?" was my immediate reply. I was in grad school for English Lit and obviously not for geography. I don't really remember their reply. All I remember is feeling a sense of abandonment. My parents would no longer be a two-day drive away. They would now be an ocean away. And this was before cell phones and FaceTime. Once I got over the shock, I employed something I have since learned is called reframing. Back then, some friends helped me work through it. "Maybe you can go visit. Have you ever been to Belgium? That is so cool. I mean, what's the difference between an 18-hour drive and a 6-hour flight?" They were right. It's all how you look at it. I could feel left behind, or I could feel liberated and recognize that my world would soon be expanding. In fact, it already had. Now I knew where Belgium was. Next step, I would be visiting there for Christmas break. One of my favorite parenting books is called The Danish Way of Parenting. It's also not a bad one for grandparents because it's a book about raising confident and capable kids, something we as grandparents want to see happen as we come alongside our own children who are raising their own kids. In the book, the authors talk about the concept of reframing, that is, using language to create a perception shift. In order to be resilient in difficult situations, we all need to find alternate storylines. That is what my friends helped me do when I was floundering after that phone call. Honestly, I have never been good at reframing. It takes practice. I have been more like the character Isabel in the novel Olive Again by Elizabeth Strout. In this unorthodox book about aging, one of Strout's characters, Isabel, who is now in a nursing home, says of her only daughter, "The truth is, Olive, Amy is good to me, but she does live in Iowa. And I sometimes think when a child moves that far away, they're really trying to get away from something. And in this case, I suspect it's me." That's one way to frame a long-distance relationship. But how about if Isabel instead tried to put a different frame around that picture? Perhaps that's where the daughter Amy had found a job she liked, or enjoyed being in a region different from Maine, which can be cold and unaccommodating. Maybe she was homesick and hoped to get back to Maine at some point, but didn't find it financially viable. Or maybe she simply had built a life she wasn't prepared to leave. In any case, there are multiple other ways to look at it. And just as Amy wasn't moving away from her mother, my parents weren't abandoning me. At least that's how I would eventually frame it. But it took some time for me to get there, that's for sure. So here's the stretch. As grandparents who may need to say a long goodbye to our grands who are moving very far away, we need to reframe the situation as best we can and not take it personally or wallow in our sad thoughts about how little we'll see them. Instead, we can be happy for them and all the experiences they will have and that we will have with them, if we can. I look back now on my travels to Belgium and other places in Europe, and I am very thankful that my parents decided to move there. It was fun for them, and I learned so much I never would have known, including how to change the way I look at things. Our next guest, Robin, is part of the middle generation who chose to move away from parents and live in another country. Coincidentally, in Belgium. So we had a lot to talk about. Hi, Robin. Welcome to The Grand Life.
Hi. Good to be here.
You know, it's good to have you here. And by here, I mean over 4,000 miles away outside of Paris, France, because that's where you are. But yeah. Thanks to Zoom, we can talk with each other. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about in today's episode about global grandparents. Now, you're part of what we're calling the middle generation. And I talked in the last episode to a woman named Helen Ellis, who is trying to help distance grandparents understand things from several perspectives, including your generation's perspective. So I asked you to join me today because I'm very familiar with your story. We became friends with your parents about 40 years ago. So we've known you since you were quite young.
I must have been a toddler at that point, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you have deep family roots and you're close to your family members back in the U.S. So first of all, I'm going to ask you to just tell us the story of how you and your husband and your three children ended up living outside of Paris.
Well, certainly France is not where I expected to end up, but I had always wanted to certainly travel abroad, but if possible, live abroad, because I loved studying languages throughout my years of schooling. And ironically, I did a junior year abroad during college in England, so not very helpful for learning languages, but it did give me a taste for living abroad. I really loved that experience and traveling, so that when I graduated college...
So it's a circuitous route that got Robin to her final destination outside of Paris. An internship in Salzburg led to a job where she met a Catalan man who, after a 5-year courtship, would become her husband. They married, moved to Brussels, Belgium, with weekend stints in Barcelona, and then a few years in Indiana, where Robin got her doctorate and had their first of 3 sons. Then back to Leuven, near Brussels, where they completed their family of 2 more sons, and eventually, 2.5 years ago, landed a half hour outside of Paris for her husband's work.
And I find myself living in France.
Notice how Robin used the words, "and I find myself." Isn't that the way things often happen? One thing leads to another and you end up in a place you might never have imagined. To Robin, living in Europe doesn't feel much different than living in a U.S. city several states away from where her family lives.
There's not a huge difference between, you know, a 6-hour flight from the East Coast to Brussels or Paris and, a few hours flight to the Midwest, you know.
I mean, you're talking about time differences and, you know, more time difference and that kind of stuff, too. But you're right. I mean, it is when you're distant, you're distant. You know, that's
exactly
just the way it is. And you have to work that out. But I'm just curious, now that you have years under your belt of being away, maybe you could parse out the pros and cons of living in another country far away from most of your loved ones. So there's good and there's bad. And I wonder if you could just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably the hardest thing about living abroad. I mean, I really love living in Europe. I love the experience. And there are many things about the U.S. that I don't miss. There are many small things about the U.S. that I miss, but that, are abundantly made up for by the wonderful food and culture here, et cetera. But, you know, there's nothing that can replace family. You know, it's just a really hard thing to be far away from family.
Robin grew up a good distance from her own grandparents, and so being long car drives away was not foreign to her.
I grew up being quite far from my grandparents as well. You know, they were in the Midwest or on the West Coast, and we grew up in the East Coast. So for me, it isn't that strange to have grandparents be at a distance. And whether that's a drive away or a flight away, it's just for me kind of normal. Of course, technology has made it 1,000 times easier for us to be far away from our families, you know, so it's become just the normal thing. We, from their early babyhood to now, the kids interact with their grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins on screens, and that's fine. And then of course we visit as frequently as we can. And that's the other part of it that's really important too.
Yeah, of course, during COVID, you're in the same situation as a lot of us. Even when we're close to our families, we can't see them because of COVID.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's not a lot different.
I would add that having everybody be in the same boat as us, relying on technology, has been actually so nice, because we all are on Zoom now, you know, and we've established, for example, a weekly Zoom with my dad and all of my siblings and all of the 15 grandchildren, and it's just a super fun way. And we see each other, and we know what's going on with each other's lives, and it's just really fun.
She also added that it is easier to keep in touch with the grandparents because they frequently call and text, and it is harder to keep in touch with her siblings because they all have very busy lives and activities. As our conversation continued, I asked Robin a question that I thought might be hard for her to answer, considering Robin lived in Belgium and her parents lived in Maine. It involved the death of her mom, Rhonda, who was only 60 when she died of cancer.
She came out to Belgium for the birth of our second son. And during that trip, she got a bout of pneumonia, just sort of after the baby was born and they were sticking around for a couple of weeks. And she was quite ill. And it had been maybe the second or third time she'd gotten pneumonia in a year. And so the doctors were concerned, took scans, and discovered lung cancer. It was about 2 years from her diagnosis to when she passed away. And of course, those are the moments when it's really tough to be away from family because you want nothing more than just, A, to have quality time to spend with your loved one, B, to offer support for what they're going through in any way that you can, be of help, and C, just, you know, just that physical closeness, just wanting to hug your loved one and just wanting to hold on to them tight. So during that period, the way we made it work was that I just went by myself with the baby, and then eventually when my third son was born, with another baby and a toddler, and I just kind of went and stayed for a month at a time. And I did that several times throughout her illness. It was never easy to do that, but at the same time, looking back, there's no question that that was the most important thing and that was the most valuable way to spend that time, is just to be there.
I knew from talking with Robin's parents that they fully supported the decision she and her husband made to live abroad, no matter what the circumstances. They would work through it, and I admire that.
They were always just so excited for us, so thrilled to sort of follow along on our adventures. And my dad is the same way now. He can't wait to come back to Europe to visit us. And he often talks like, oh, well, maybe I'll come live in Europe for a while. And I think both my mom and my dad just always saw it as what it was, which is a wonderful opportunity. Of course, they made no secret of the fact that they would be thrilled if we moved in next door to them as well. But, you know, there's a big difference between knowing how welcome and glad they would be to have us nearby, difference between that and pressuring or making us feel guilty about where life has brought us. And because they know that there's no sense of, you know, this is like, oh, deliberate distancing, deliberately wanting to be far away. No, we would love to be right around the corner from all of my siblings, as well as my dad and my mom when she was alive. So it just, you know, it's just where life leads you.
The last thing I wanted to know from Robin, representing the middle generation for the rest of us who are well beyond that, was if she ever thought about what it would be like when she becomes a grandparent.
I think about it all the time because there are a lot of sort of big question marks about our grandparenting down the road.
Yeah.
But what makes me worry about it not too much is knowing that we have the model of what my parents have done and what my husband's parents have done, which is they've made it work and joyfully and with a sense of adventure and with a sense of being excited for us and excited for what our grandkids are learning. And we come from a Dutch family, in Dutch immigrant family in the U.S. And my dad has taken so much delight in watching his grandchildren speak Dutch because they grew up in Flanders. And now, you know, sort of speaking the language that his father spoke when he was a child, and now learning French, you know, just that sense of pride and delight in my dad that he has in his grandkids. But in our case, just to watch them do this amazing thing, which is to be quadrilingual, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. That's so great. Well, you have a little time before you're going to be grandparents, since your oldest is, what, 11 or 12. But it is interesting to think about. And I think that the legacy that your mom and dad and Marty's parents are leaving you is something that will make a huge difference for you when you have grandchildren as well. For all my guests, I'll say this. The road we travel is not a straight shot. There are bends and turns and sometimes even detours. But what seems to be the most important is that we and the people around us are willing to go where it leads us. The joy is definitely in the journey and is not necessarily dependent on the destination. On the next episode of The Grand Life, we focus on the power of our stories as I talk to some people who recognize how important it is to pass on our memories to the people we love and will someday leave behind.
When you can see the amazingness of these people in your lives who may not think that they're that amazing, it really makes you understand how much you've done. It helps me as a younger person understand myself. It helps me bond with my older loved ones. And it also really gives me an insight to the rest of the world that I just never really thought about sometimes.
That's next time on The Grand Life.
I'd love it if you would share your thoughts and ideas for this podcast by contacting me at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 317-572-7876. I've said it before, I do not pretend to be the best grandparent ever, but I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. I'm Emily Morgan, and thanks for joining me in living the grand life.
This podcast was written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It was produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Email them at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com.